here at Rock Solid Refuge. As the slide's coming up, there we go. So just a really quick overview, Rock Solid Refuge. We're down southwest of Swift Current in the Shaunavon area. Any of you ever heard of the Hunters or the Hunter Brothers? A few of you? So that's where they live, so that's kind of one of our claims to fame. They go to our church, they lead worship there, and they're part of the local Bible camp and stuff. And so a lot of people kind of know that area through that, through them. And so we're, Rock Solid is about a 25-minute drive from Shaunavon, out in the middle of nowhere. Some people maybe say that Meadow Lake is in the middle of nowhere, but if you come down to Rock Solid, you'll be like, yeah, this is a little bit more in the middle of nowhere than even here. We work with young people, 13 to 18 years old, guys at this point. It's just guys that we work with life-controlling issues, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Foundational to the work that we do is this word freedom, and I'm going to talk a little bit more later as well about this word freedom, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, if that was the only verse in the entire Bible that you had ever heard, what would you interpret the word freedom to mean from that short few words? It would be the interpretation that we all want the word freedom to mean, right? Kind of like these guys. And if this works. You know what? It helps if it's turned on. Am I right? Okay, here we go. So I have this cartoon on my phone, and these two boys are looking out the window, and they see a bird out there. See that bird? That bird has more freedom than I have. Now, what's the definition of freedom that they're thinking of when they see that bird? What do they want the word freedom to mean? I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, right? That's definitely what they want it to mean. He doesn't have to go to school or eat liver or memorize the times table. He's totally free. Now, a couple years ago, a couple of our students were literally standing in the dining room, looking out the window, having this exact same conversation. I'm not joking you. They're looking at the birds, the sparrows out there, and they're like, man, we're here at Rock Solid. We don't get to do what we want. And the birds, they just get to fly around. And I'm like, guys, you won't believe this, but I have a cartoon that shows exactly what you guys are doing right now. They were blown away. But now, if we're honest, I think we'd all say, yeah, I'd like to be able to live with that definition of freedom, right? How many of us, if that was possible, like if that was a realistic thing, how many of us would like to live with the definition of freedom? I can do what I want when I want. All right. More honesty here than a lot of places that I asked that question to. Thank you. But the reason why all of us don't put our hands up right away is because we know that if we do that, like, it actually doesn't work out. Right? Like, it's disaster. Right? That's the reality. When we take that word freedom and we make it to mean I get to do, and I even demand that I get to do what I want when I want, then the outcome of that is not good, because none of us, even Christians, are perfect or glorified, right? Now, I believe that in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth, we'll get to do everything we want when we want, because we'll be perfect. Imagine every motive of our hearts being absolutely perfect, and as well as every person that's around you. We can't even fathom that right now, but for now, that's not the case. To do what we want when we want at any given time is disaster, because we want things we shouldn't want. And so it results in the kinds of things that we work with at Rock Solid Refuge. Substance abuse and addiction, pornography addiction, challenging behavior, just a great deal of struggle. And when those things are in your home, it is a great deal of struggle. And that's what we work with, and it creates a whole lot of brokenness. At Rock Solid Refuge, we really do believe there's hope. We believe that there's hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been doing what we do for almost 13 years now. We started in 2007 as a summer program. We did 3 summers, and in 2010, so this year is our 10th year of full-time, year-round ministry to young people with life-controlling issues. And that's just a couple of pictures of the campus that we have. We're pretty excited. Our mission is to bring God's transforming love to adolescents with life-controlling issues that they may know freedom, restoration, and hope. We are a distinctly Christian organization. We get a little bit of government funding because we're a fully accredited independent school, but other than that, it is way too important to us to compromise our Christian values and our commitment to the gospel to take government funding in order to compromise that. In the great scope of things, we'd love to see biblically based residential treatment programs Canada-wide ministering to male and female adolescents and their families. At this point, we're the only ministry in all of Canada that's doing what we're doing with guys. There's a brand new girls program that started up in the southwest of Saskatchewan as well called Living Hope Ranch. But those two organizations is all the beds that are available all across Canada. And that's long-term residential treatment for youth that's Christian program, okay? In the United States, there's tons of Christian programs like ours. There's lots of them all over the United States, but we're the only ones in Canada. Like I said, core to our program is faith and discipleship. We do chapels, devotionals, Christian studies that the students have assigned to them. Not all of them are excited about it. Not all of them come from Christian backgrounds. We've had students that couldn't find the book of Genesis if you gave them a Bible and says, can you find the book of Genesis for me? And they'd be like, I don't know what that is. And so it's a great privilege for us to be able to work with young people that don't have that as a foundation and bring them through a journey of a year long into an understanding of a Christian worldview. We believe very much in mentoring. Every student is assigned a staff mentor. I believe that we as adults need mentors, and I have mentors in my life. And so we believe that it's a biblical principle that's essential to our spiritual well-being and our maturity. We are a fully accredited independent school, like I said. We're registered with the Saskatchewan High School Athletics Association, and so our students have competed in track and field. We'll probably do some badminton and those kind of things yet. We actually were a part of the Shaunavon Shadows high school football team this past fall as well. And so it's been neat to have our school as an independent school and also a part of the Athletics Association. We also believe in building life skills. And when we say life skills, we want to mean more employability skills, responsibility, communication, critical thinking. Yes, we'll teach them certain specific skills along the way, but really most employers now are like, if I can get somebody with good character, I can teach them the job. But I have a hard time teaching character, right? And so that's what we're shooting for. We do also believe very much in building relationships through activities. So there is a lot of things that we do there. Shaden's even going to share just a little bit about being involved in Taekwondo. We've got horse riding that we do there as well, and just lots of stuff in the summertime, fishing and swimming and all those kinds of things are important to just building relationships. Some of the special events that we do, every fall we have a Harvest for Hope. Down in our area, we'd love to see more farmers jump on board and maybe do a bit of a crop for Rock Solid. We have a family camp every August that the families are required to come to. It's just an incredible blessing. Our guys go on a camping trip the last summer and this summer again. They're going to go into the mountains in Alberta to do a camping trip with Blue Brana Wilderness Camp. Yesterday, that picture in the middle isn't from yesterday, but yesterday we had a student graduation, and so we have some new students that are coming in because we've had some students finish up, and it's been a tremendous blessing to see what God has done in the young people's lives as they move on. I'm going to ask Shaden if he'd come up at this time and share with us.
Thank you, Dallas. So, this is just a little piece of my story. I believe that a big part of becoming successful is the knowledge that if one can visualize that success, they can achieve it. My name is Shaden Esau, and I'm here to tell you that anything is possible. As an addict who struggled for many years trying to find a purpose, I can now say that I found my calling, and I owe it in large part to Dallas Block and the work he does through Rock Solid Refuge, and to Tyler Lorenz of Residence in Recovery. In a culture full of skepticism and doubt towards addicts in recovery, I have found freedom. Freedom to ignore the haters and doubters of this society. Freedom to be who I am. Freedom to make realistic goals. And the freedom to chase my dreams. It's not that I ever intended to become an instrument of chaos through my addiction, but rather I was a lost soul in severe need of good direction. I've always wanted to get my life together, but every step it would have took to get there was almost as big as the next. There comes a point in the life where an addict pictures the good life and wants it bad, but always falls short of society's expectations. The problem is that where so many have come close to escaping addiction and reshaping their lives in order to become contributing members of society, that same society has closed doors on them that left them to their own devices. With the right push and support, many of these would have otherwise attained success. I stand today as a living testament of what can happen when those doors are opened, and it all was made possible through programs like Rock Solid Refuge. I was raised in a good Christian home with a loving mom and dad who are here today. I grew up going to school in this town till about the age of 16. Most of my friends were in trouble. We would skip school, experiment with drugs and alcohol, which later progressed to criminal activity, violence, and addiction. I was on the path of absolute destruction, but I didn't even know it. It was really difficult for me to become a student at Rock Solid. All I could think of was what I had to live with. was what I had to live without to be a student there. Even just handing the cell phone back to my parents on my intake date, knowing I wouldn't have contact with my friends, was almost more than I could bear. As a previous student of Rock Solid Refuge, I encountered an environment that gave me the structure I needed, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, high-quality education, and mentors that still encourage me to this day, like Dallas and James Simpson, who are still presently at Rock Solid. After I graduated from Rock Solid, the struggle was far from over. I wish I could say that I applied what I learned there, but I tend to learn a lot of things the hard way. After several years of hardship, I contacted Dallas and told him that I was clean and wanted to come back to Rock Solid to do the internship I had promised years ago. Today, I have a job as a youth care worker at Rock Solid Refuge, following my dreams. So, 3 jiu-jitsu belts later, 2 taekwondo belts, residence and recovery programming, treatment, mental health, and many 12-step meetings later, I can truly say that this program was exactly what I needed in order to give back to society in the same way that these programs did for me. I am blessed today with a place to live and an amazing job that helps those in need like myself. If there is one thing I know from my year at Rock Solid Refuge as a youth and my time with Residence in Recovery recently, it's this. Even though immediate results don't always occur in these programs, what most people don't see is the seeds that are being planted in the hearts and minds of participants. Whereas before, there was none. These are seeds of hope, seeds that say that recovery is possible and that there is a way out of the darkness and into the light of new life in Christ. Seeds of a meaningful future of eternal value and seeds of blessing where there was once a curse. I, Shaden Esau, can proudly say that I am a product of the ongoing care and support I received from Dallas at Rock Solid Refuge and through Residence in Recovery. I believe that these programs deserve much more credit than they currently receive. As I close my story this morning, I want to publicly acknowledge and thank my friends and family who are here today for their never-ending love and support. There are also many others here today who have shown hospitality and been amazing hosts to us as we are guests here today. You know who you are. And I thank you guys for letting me share.
It's natural for us to want all the outcomes that we would like right away. But it is a journey. It's often a longer journey than we'd hope it to be. And I'm super encouraged by having Shaden back, and he's been back with us since November. And just the way in which he's able to come alongside the young people that are there as they work through their struggles and how he can identify with them and encourage them to keep moving forward. Some ways that people can get involved with us. We have groups that come down and volunteer and do service projects and things like that. People, as was mentioned earlier, you can give one-time gifts, which is always super helpful. We don't get government funding apart from a little bit for our school, and so in order to do what we do, it does cost a lot, and we appreciate those who partner with us. One of the ways that has been really neat to see people partner with us is this brochure that you got in your bulletins when you came in called Partner for Change. And it's just a way to just intentionally get behind us, just with a small gift each month that also allows you to get connected with a specific student. We'll send you a bio of that student, put it on your fridge, you can remember to pray for them, you can write them letters and encouragements, birthday cards, whatever, so that they can feel encouraged. And our students really appreciate it, they really do. One of our students, you know, we were getting the students to write some letters or some feedback back to their sponsors of how the things were going, and one student was like, I want to tell my sponsors to write me more. And we're like, let's see if we can spin that in a positive way. But the fact was, is he actually seen some of the other students getting some letters, and he didn't feel like he was getting as many or whatever. And it makes a difference. They actually are really encouraged. And I know there's Teen Challenge material at the back, and so I know you guys are familiar with that context as well. And I sponsor a student at Teen Challenge, too. I love the work that Teen Challenge is doing. We feel a great partnership with them. But we're working with different age categories. They're 18 and older, and we're 13 to 18. And so if you're familiar with that, you're familiar with ways that you can get behind us in that sense as well. I have another brochure at the back there that talks about planned giving, estate giving, and it's important to consider how maybe a charity of your choice could become like another child in your estate planning. I want to share for the next few minutes a little bit more from Galatians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Galatians chapter 5, we kind of explored a little bit what we shouldn't attach to the word freedom as its definition, but what does Paul want us to understand, and actually God want us to understand in regards to this word freedom? And so if we're familiar with the scriptures, you know, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians especially, then we would understand that the word freedom is attached to a number of different contexts in our Christian lives. When we first come to faith in Jesus Christ, we should have an understanding at that moment that I need to be freed from some things. And then I'm going to get into in a couple minutes what we're freed to. But what are the things that we are freed from? Slavery to sin, right? So we are freed from the power of sin. Because sin isn't just things that we do. It's actually a power that exercises itself against us. And that's Romans chapter 6, right? That's also from the book of Genesis, where God comes to Cain and says, sin desires to have you. It is this power working on you that wants to master you. That's the first introduction of that concept, and then it's expounded upon greatly in Romans chapter 6, right? So sin is a power. And so we are freed from the power of sin, but before we're even freed from the power of sin, we are freed from the penalty of sin, right? So we come to understand ourselves in the context that we as humans, we've broken God's law. We have offended a holy God. And that offense brings about God's wrath. And God is right to be full of wrath and judgment towards sin, and then specifically towards those who commit sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. right? And so we are freed from the penalty of sin, and we are freed from the power of sin. But what are we freed to? Because if we understand what it looks like to work with those who struggle with addictions, and one of the books that I really have come to appreciate is a book by Edward T. Welch called Addictions, A Banquet in the Grave, Finding Hope in the Power of the Gospel. And when we understand what it means to come and work with those who struggle with addictions, Edward Welch would say, actually, we all struggle with what is at the core of addiction, which is a worship disorder, right? When we have a worship disorder, that's when we get into addictions. And we all struggle with a worship disorder. We prefer other things over God. And that's the problem in sin. So, if we're going to work with somebody who's struggling in sin, we can't just say, okay, stop doing those things. Last night at the Youth Drop-In Center, we stopped in there for a little while and chatted with some of them. And as we were chatting, Shaden had shared his story and that kind of stuff. As we were chatting, the question was asked, so how are you going to avoid potentially going down that path? And so one of the young people said, don't do dumb things. And he's like, no offense, Shaden, but I shouldn't do dumb things. And Shaden's like, no offense taken. I did a lot of dumb things. The reality is that, yeah, okay, don't do dumb things. But then I said to them, I said, okay, so, yeah, well, you know, you get a lot of messages of just say no and don't do this and don't do that. But what are you going to say yes to? Like, what's actually going to be a part of your life? Like, what are you going to do? Because you have to actually say yes to some things. You can't just say no to everything and then you just huddle up somewhere and, okay, I'm okay, I'm safe because I'm not leaving my room, right? Martin Luther, by the way, tried that, right? The monk, and holed up and went, and then he's like, man, I took that scoundrel with me, which was himself, right? Because we understand that we don't escape sin by sheltering ourselves from everything out there. Sin is within us, always happy to be expressed, right? So what are we freed to then? Not just what are we freed from, but what are we freed to? Galatians 5, verse 13 says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Here's one of these amazing contrasts that Paul puts in. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, because when I wrote for Galatians 5, verse 1, now they didn't use those numbers back then, but when I wrote that sentence, y'all wanted to attach, I get to do whatever I want, but here's the thing, no, because your flesh will want to do things that you shouldn't do. So don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but you have been freed to serve one another in love. This is what we were created for, right? That's why heaven will be heaven. The greatest expression in heaven, right? Faith, hope, and love, these three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Like, the most dominant context of heaven will be love. We will all do it perfectly, right? This is what we were created for. And before sin came into the world, Adam and Eve actually did that perfectly, right? We were created to live in perfect love with God and perfect love with one another. Now, we don't really know what that looks like in our current reality because we don't love perfectly and neither do the people around us. Yet, Paul says we were freed for that. We were freed to live, to express our love for God by loving one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Okay, so how do we do this? Like, how? We're told to do this now, okay? So Paul's giving us an imperative, okay? He's giving us an instruction, a command. Serve one another in love. But what's the undergirding of that? Where does the strength come from to do that? Where does the motivation, where does it come from to actually live that out day by day? Because if you tell me what I should do, there's a certain amount of that I can just grin and bear it and do it. I'm just going to do it because I know I should. But there's a certain point where it's like, okay, why am I doing this? I'm getting really tired. Actually, I feel kind of burnt out. Like, everybody needs everything, right? Anybody ever felt that way? Like, so what is it that comes underneath that so that it's actually a sustainable, ongoing reality of our Christian lives that with joy, we can serve one another in love, right? Because when the time comes that the joy comes out of that reality, it's just work. It actually becomes drudgery. And we might be doing actions of love, but our hearts are getting heavier and heavier. So what is it that undergirds that? Verse 16 says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Anybody felt like your heart is a battleground? Pretty much every day, right? So what does it look like to walk by the Spirit? I want to highlight just one aspect that I think is this, and there's others that would probably bring out more of it, but I think this is really critical. What does it look like to have such fellowship with God that it overshadows, undergirds, it just surrounds everything about every day of our lives? Maybe it's because of the work that God's called me to do, but I have a great appreciation for George Mueller. And if you're unfamiliar with who George Mueller was, he started orphanages in England many years ago. And at that time, orphans would be taken into workhouses and fed enough to keep them alive and working, and given shelter enough to keep them alive and keep them working. And that's about it. They were destitute and dying. And if they died, they were just kind of property anyway, so move another one in. And George Mueller, seeing this reality, he's like, this is not right. This can't be. And God used George Mueller to rescue and help thousands, literally thousands and thousands of kids in these orphanages. And it was central to him as well that the gospel of Jesus Christ would come to these kids. And so it's interesting to read a quote from George Mueller, because one would think that his focus was on all the work that God had for him to do. But here's what George Mueller said. "I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished." When we see a life like the Apostle Paul or George Mueller or others, we're like, man, they were just driven. They were just focused on all the things that God wanted them to do. Yeah, kind of. But I think both the Apostle Paul and George Mueller echoed it, would say, actually, I need my soul to be happy in God first. I need to get up in the morning. I need to come to this understanding that I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Could there be a better reality for us? Like, really? Could there be a better reality in the entire universe than that we could come to know ourselves and be refreshed in that reality just day in and day out? I am a child of God. Not just this one-time event that happened when I was a kid at Bible camp, or this one-time event when I was in crisis that I you know, experienced something with God, and I knew that I became a Christian and my sins were forgiven. But this ongoing walk by the Spirit, my soul is happy in the Lord. I have fellowship with Him. He is more precious to me than anything else. And that when I go about the tasks of the day, and as God has given me the task to serve one another in love, that it becomes a happy endeavor because I first and foremost know myself to be a child of God. I know myself to be loved by Him, to be intimate with Him, to be in Christ. And the last part that I want to highlight here is the fruits of the Spirit that come from this. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and we are all familiar with this passage. And although some of these fruits in other passages are brought about in some senses by command, right? So we're supposed to love people. We're supposed to have joy. We should have peace. We should have patience. We should be kind. We should be good and faithful. In this passage, Paul says this is a fruit. A fruit is not something that, you know, you command a tree to bear fruit. You know, we have an orchard there at Rock Salt. We actually had some great apples, like legit apples. They were sweet, like you pick them off the tree. Man, I was envisioning I was in BC for a second. It's like, what? This happened in southwest Saskatchewan? This is crazy. But the reality is that fruit came about because the tree became healthy and mature. This is what God is wanting to bring as an overflow out of our lives, not just through the commands to do, but the overflow of our walk in the Spirit and the intimate relationship we have with Jesus Christ. If there's anybody in here that this is just kind of confusing to, it's like, I don't understand how there's a relationship with some being that I can't see. You should talk to somebody here. Talk to the pastor. Talk to somebody and find out what is this reality of this intimate relationship with God that we can have. It's a prayer that we have for our students. We want them to come into that intimate walk with God as the foundation of their lives. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you, and I hope that many of you can stick around and we can talk some more.
We're going to sing one more song before we're dismissed, so feel free to stand with us for this last song. You broke my chains, sin and shame, and you covered me with grace. You are the hand that reaches out to say, I am set free, oh, 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 I am set free, oh, 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 it is for freedom that I am set free. You broke my of sin and shame, and you covered me with grace. You mend my life with your holy fire, and you covered me with grace. You are the hand that reaches out to save. I am set free, oh, set free. And yes, Yes, Lord, we are grateful for your grace and for your love. And yes, Lord, we are grateful for your grace and for your love. And yes, Lord, we are grateful for your grace and for your love. 'Cause you are the hand that reaches out to save. I am set free. I am set free, oh, it is for freedom that I am set free. I am set free, oh, I am set free.
Thank you, Dallas, for sharing with us this morning. And we want to kind of move right into Sunday school fairly quickly here. If you need to use a washroom, grab a coffee or something, we might have a couple minutes while we kind of get set up. But we'd love for you all to stay and just hear more about how we can understand and minister to people with many of these struggles. And so I'm just going to pray. Kids, you can, as soon as I'm done praying, we're going to send you out. If you aren't able to stick around, we just ask that you kind of head out into the foyer. You can visit there or head off as you need. But again, kids, you can head out as soon as I'm done praying, and we'll get started fairly quickly here with our Sunday school class. All right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that in Christ we have freedom. In Christ we have been set free from sin, from its control, from the penalty, from all the things that Satan wants to destroy us with, you have set us free. Father, help us to walk in that freedom by your Spirit. Help us to walk in that freedom and bear the fruit that you desire us to. Help us to spend the time with you so that our heart can be happy in you. Father, change us this morning. Make us more like Christ as we go from here, and help us to shine your light in this community and beyond. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.